Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever found yourself with an evening where there is just nothing on television? This was the situation I found myself in on Monday night, and this is how I accidentally fell into what I am describing as a Met Ball YouTube hole. So on Monday night, the annual Met Gala happened. The Met Gala is a fundraiser that happens every year to support the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. Now, to call this a fundraiser is not really accurate, because it is part fundraiser, but it is also this insane, elaborate costume party, where I looked it up, a single ticket to the Met Gala costs $30,000. And that's if you're lucky enough to get a ticket, because another thing that I learned is that you can only attend the Met Gala if you have been approved by Anna Wintour. Anna is Vogue magazine's editor-in-chief. So Tuesday morning, to kind of justify all of this time that I wasted watching celebrities walk the red carpet at the Met Gala, I started to do some research. The theme for the Met Gala this year was American. So all of the people who attended the Met Gala were dressed as representing some iconic thing in American history. Well, there was one dress in particular that kind of caught my attention. And this dress was worn by Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She wore this beautiful white dress, which on the back, in red ink, I guess is the right word, were the words, "Tax the Rich." Now, no one was surprised that she, as a congresswoman, chose to make a political statement at this fundraiser. The problem with this particular political statement is that it kind of came across as hypocritical. It was almost like she was saying, "Tax the rich," while I'm having the time of my life at a party with my rich friends, and the whole reason we're here is to glamorize wealth. Now, I agree that this dress was maybe done in bad taste, but I think it speaks to something larger. It speaks to this idea of what is greatness in America. What does it mean to be great, and how do we decide who gets to be great? I was thinking about greatness because our scripture reading for this morning talks about greatness when it talks about this idea called the kingdom of God. The whole idea behind the kingdom of God is that Jesus is going to one day return to earth, and when he does, he's going to restore creation to its intended glory. And when Jesus does, we won't have to tax the rich because there will be no more crying or pain or suffering as a result of injustice anymore. In this kingdom of God, greatness looks different than we think it will. The last will be first, and the lowly will be exalted. The only problem with the kingdom of God is that we don't know for sure when Jesus will return. And until that day comes, we live in this tension of a kingdom we can't yet see, but we know is coming. In our scripture passage for this morning, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples how to live in this already but not yet kingdom. When he says, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." So I'm sure you've picked up by now that Jesus' understanding of greatness is completely different from how we as Americans view greatness. In America today, we tend to glamorize youth and wealth. To be great, for example, is to fit into a sample size designer dress, or to be rich enough to afford a ticket to the hottest fundraiser of the season. But Jesus turns our idea of greatness on its head. For Jesus, greatness has nothing to do with how you look or how much money you make. And it has everything to do with your willingness to put other people's needs above your own. You become last and become a servant of all when your every decision is governed by care for the least of these in your community. I'm also sure you've picked up by now that Mark's gospel is a little bit different than the other synoptic gospels, or Matthew and Luke, in that Mark isn't somebody who really kind of leaves us hanging. From the very beginning of the gospel, we know where Jesus' story is headed. He's headed to the cross. But every time Jesus reveals more of the story to his disciples, he follows it up by telling them, "Do not tell anyone what you've seen or heard." So sometimes when people read Mark's gospel, even though they know where his story is headed, they still question, "But hey, why does Jesus have to die?" That seems kind of an extreme way to end the story of the greatest human who ever lived. Well, my answer to that question is to pay attention to the extreme things Jesus is saying in Mark. Jesus is saying that those in power, the people who rule empires and can afford to attend $30,000 fundraisers, these kings, these influencers, they don't have the final say in who we are. Also, they don't get to do whatever they want to do and not care about how their actions affect others. Only God has the final say in who we are. Because in sending Jesus, God changed the trajectory of human history. By sending his Son into the world, our sins are forgiven once and for all. And as much as kings and as much as influencers want to tell us who we are, their power is fleeting, but our God is forever. Friends, this is why Jesus has to die. He proclaims over and over and over again that the kingdom of God has come near. He calls for repentance, for the healing of diseases and disabilities, and for the forgiveness of sins. Also, you'll notice that in Mark's gospel, Jesus is constantly hanging out with the least of these in society. People like Gentile women, lepers, women possessed by demons, little children. By caring for the least of these, Jesus mounts a direct challenge to the authority of those in charge. And for that, Jesus must die. Now, Now, as Christians living in 21st century America, we all know how Jesus' story on earth ends. It ends with death on the cross, but one might argue it also ends with resurrection. It ends with Jesus taking his place on the right-hand side of the Father. Because of resurrection, our sins are forgiven. Because of resurrection, our stories have a new ending. Because of resurrection, we have been forgiven. We are no longer slaves to the power of sin and death. So Jesus knows this, and Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples to accept this reality. So what he does in our scripture passage for this morning is he invites us to consider how our day-to-day decisions impact those around us. Now, how our day-to-day decisions impact those around us is going to look a little bit different for all of us. If we were privileged enough to receive an invitation to the Met Gala, maybe we don't go. Maybe instead we take whatever money we would have spent on our ticket, on our dress, on our hair and makeup, and we donate it to somebody or an organization that is working with the least of these in our communities. Now, not all of us, myself included, have $30,000 just lying around. I know that I, for one, am never going to fit into a sample-size designer dress. But I think Jesus isn't so concerned with the size of our gift as he is with our willingness to give our gifts away in service to others. Doing this, giving our gifts away in service to others, allows us to participate in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. So to kind of help you think about what this might look like, I came up with a couple examples to share with you. So maybe you are a crafter. Maybe you have picked up some new crafting skills over these last 18 months. So maybe you decide you are going to volunteer to help decorate your local library for Halloween. You see that the library is hosting a little Halloween party for kids this year, and you know that Halloween is probably going to be weird again this year, and you want to help create a space where kids can come and celebrate the holiday. Maybe you are more of what I like to call a putzer. A tinkerer, somebody who is really good at making things better. And maybe you've noticed as you're driving in your community that there is this, I'll use the word haggard, flower bed in the middle of your town square that is becoming kind of an eyesore. You know what flower beds I'm talking about, the ones that have all of these weird plants in them. Half of them are dead, half of them are growing at an astronomical rate. And you decide, hey, you know what, I am going to dedicate one Saturday a month for the next 3 months to weed this garden and to figure out what plants make sense growing in it. Because you want visitors to your community to feel welcome, to feel cared for. Maybe politics are your passion. And maybe you are somebody who has a lot of great ideas, but you kind of struggle to put those ideas into motion. So maybe you sit down and maybe you pick one issue that plagues your community that you want to focus on. And, you know, maybe you identify one or two other people in your community also affected by this issue that can help you. And maybe you guys work together and put your energy and your passion and your ideas into fixing this one thing. Now, I chose these examples intentionally because none of them require a lot of money, but they do require something more precious. Your time. Friends, time is the one thing we've all been given the same amount of every day. So this means every day we have to decide how we will use our time. We can choose to use our time in service to ourselves, and we can also choose to use our time in service to our communities or in service to those in our communities who God loves. One of the blessings and one of the challenges of the kingdom of God is that we don't know the day or the hour when Jesus will return. But we do know that we can go forth from this place committed to using our time in service to others. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.